It's time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show. This is Every Heart, Every Woman Radio. Before we jump into our interview that we have for today, we're going to set the tone with some live music. Sit back and enjoy. In Psalm 62, it says, "Yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from Him.
Rest my soul in God alone, for my strength comes from Him. He's my rock and my salvation. Rest my soul in God alone. Rest my soul. Joy. That's why I have to know my Bible, so I can counteract his schemes. My God is my mighty rock. He is my refuge. Rest all my soul. God is in control. Rest in God alone. For my strength comes from him. He's my control.
He
alone.
My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show on The Word 100.7 FM. And I have my good friend, Vicki McMurray, with me. She is my co-host today. Vicki and I have volunteered on many projects in the church in the area of music and worship. And she's also volunteered with us for Love Ministries. And Every Heart, Every Woman radio is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit. You can find more information about Love Ministries on our website. It's loveministriesbills.org. So, Vicki, thank you so much for co-hosting with me today, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here today.
Vicki and I are welcoming Letitia Owens. I met Tisha in 2000. Is that right, Tisha? We were singing for Kirk Franklin, and we were recording for his project, The Rebirth of Kirk Franklin.
Yes.
And Tisha is a wonderful person. She is absolutely full of life. She told me that when she enjoys something, she tries to get the absolute most enjoyment that she can have.
That's correct.
Out of what she's doing. She really goes for it, really has a great time at life. And really, that's a wonderful way to live. We all need to figure out how we can do the same. But Tisha, she is a wife, a mother, a singer, a hairstylist, a makeup artist. Interior decorator.
Correct.
I think back in 2000, you took some pregnancy photos of my husband and I for our first child, Roosevelt and I, and we love those photos. So she's a photographer. She does everything. But Vicki and I were like, that's just a real woman, right?
That is a real woman. Woman extraordinaire.
There you go.
Thank you.
That describes so many women. So Tisha, welcome to the show. We're so excited that you are here with us.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. But you forgot to mention that I was very humble. You didn't use that word when you were talking about me.
So I love it.
No, but thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you all, especially being one of the first guests that
yes,
you have. I'm very excited about
yes,
that.
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. We are so excited, and Tisha is just kind of helping us through this process, because Vicki and I are saying, what are we going to ask first? What are we going to do second? What are we going to do third?
And we're going to have a conversation.
That's right. We're going to have a conversation, and Tisha's right in there with us. So let's get to your story. You
yes.
have a wonderful story with so many different fabulous parts that people, especially women, will find a lot of inspiration from. So our first question is, where do we begin with your story?
Well, let's start from how this whole ministry began.
Okay.
Back in 2012, I had moved to Atlanta, actually because I had been on a fast. I had been on a fast with the Lord, and I was feeling like I was not pleasing the Lord.
Wow.
So I asked him, what is it that I should be doing? I have a lot of gifts and talents, but I don't feel like any of them are bringing a smile to your face.
Hmm.
And so I went on a fast to hear the answer of what I was supposed to be doing. And instead of giving me a direct answer, he sent me to Atlanta. Now, going to Atlanta, I didn't have family there. I didn't know a lot of people there. But I packed up my truck. My truck, I named her Charlita. Charlita and I drove to Atlanta. I had asked my parents to keep my children. Well, I have two children at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Mom, will you watch them for me? I'm supposed to go to Atlanta. The Lord has given me direction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go find, you know, my living and figure it out, and then I'll send for the kids. Well, she said, go right ahead. So I had a friend that I was going to stay with, but when I got to Atlanta, somehow those plans turned and ended up leaving me in my car.
Mm.
So in the process of living in my car, I would see people at night, 3 and 4 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
walking on the streets with bags on their shoulders and pushing carts. And I was trying to figure out, what are they doing and how are they living like that? Now, at the time, when you're living in your car, you really don't realize the situation you're in, because that was my first experience with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know that I was like them.
Right.
Even though I wasn't on the street, I was in my car. We were in situations where we didn't know what we were doing, where we were going,
mm-hmm.
or we had no stable place of living.
Mm-hmm.
So in the process of being in Atlanta, what I realized was I became very educated on words, adjectives like loneliness, rejection, abandonment. So I really became acquainted with those feelings, and I wanted to understand how, again, people were living with those things surrounding them, with the mindset of that. And that's what I did. I became very educated by getting connected with other shelters, finding people on the street, literally having conversations with them. I would even go meet strangers, like in coffee shops, just talking to them, passing the time, because I really didn't know what I was doing. And I was asking the Lord, Lord, why am I here? Now, I know you sent me here for a reason. And people would ask me later, why didn't you call your parents? Why didn't you tell friends? And I said, well, I knew I was on an assignment. I knew the Lord sent me there. And because I didn't have a stable place to live, I still felt protected.
So that kind of leads into something I was curious about, knowing your story, Tisha, was your faith journey during this time. You're being sent. God is calling you to go to Atlanta. Everything kind of turns upside down as to how you thought you were going to be in Atlanta. And so you're recognizing all this. Where were you with your faith? You're talking about how you're reaching out to people. You're just sort of getting to know and seeing that there's sort of a similar situation in what you're dealing with and what you're seeing people in the night dealing with. And so where are you with God with that? What's going on with that?
Well, initially, I was questioning him. I was saying, Lord, where are you? I know you sent me here, but I'm not feeling your presence right now. In my mind, I was trying to figure out, had I been obedient, was I doing what you asked me to do? Because I'm in a situation that is very uncomfortable. And of course, when we're following the Lord in our minds sometimes, we think it's supposed to be smooth sailing. That there's not supposed to be question marks or trials or different things that we come against.
And we want to jump ship.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. And that's another reason why I didn't reach out to my family, because I felt like that was easy for me to do, was to jump ship. But I wanted to be obedient. I had been fasting and praying, so I wanted an answer. But the Lord is so amazing. What he did was, instead of giving me a direct answer, he put me in position, in a position where I could hear his voice clearly. Because what one of the things he said was, write it down. That's all he said. I would say, well, where am I supposed to go? Who am I supposed to talk to? And he said, write it down. I did not know what that meant, but I did what he said. I would take my phone and just type in the different experiences that I was having. And I would be asking things like, again, where are you? What am I going to do? How do I stand in this process? What do I share with others while I'm here? There were so many questions that was going on. But time went on. And so I ended up just riding around, like I said, and meeting strangers quite often, because I am a talker. I will go and speak to any and everybody. But I wouldn't tell anybody my situation. I just would just kind of find out what was going on in the city. I would try to show up at different places to meet other people where I could possibly get connected, maybe for employment. But that was my world during that time, was just to figure it out. And so over time, what happened was, months had gone by and I was still riding around, and I had met some friends. There was a young lady in Dallas, Texas, Priscilla Shire. She called me and asked me. I was also a makeup artist before I'd come to Atlanta. She asked me, would I do her makeup? And she would send for me to come back to Dallas. So I left my car in a parking lot while I was gone, because, again,
That was home. That was your home.
That was it. Came to Dallas, had done her makeup, and in the process of doing her makeup, I had gotten another call from another man who had asked me to redesign his recording studio. So I went and did that. But at the same time, I asked him, would he listen to some music that I had done and just critique it? Well, he said, I'll do that. So he listened to the music. He critiqued the music. But he also said, hey, why don't we do something together? I would really like that. Well, the amazing thing was, this person was Fred Hammond, who was saying this to me. And I'm looking at him going, what? you want to do something with me?
Yes.
You know, I was blown away by that.
And you're still,
my car is still waiting for me. Charlita is still there.
Charlita is still
wanting
saying,
to know, when am I coming back?
I love it.
So he and I sat together, and this is where those words came out, where I had been writing down what the Lord said. I handed Fred my phone, and he looked at those lyrics, and I kind of write in a poetic type form, even when I'm writing my thoughts. I showed him the words, and he literally started singing it, adding the melody to the words. And he was so moved by it. He said, let's record this. Let's do something with this. And I'm still looking at him like, first of all, do you realize you're reading the words out of my phone?
Right.
and you're asking me to song with you,
right,
you know?
Right, right.
But we did that. We did just that. He set it up where we would come into the studio and record the song, and the song title was Where Are You? And that's where this all began.
Wow.
It was like the Lord was unfolding the process right before my eyes, but I still hadn't made the connection just quite yet. So we did the song, we recorded it, and so then I went and volunteered at a pajama drive. I'm still in Dallas at this time. I volunteered at a pajama drive, and I happened to be just talking to another young lady. Well, this lady who was running the event asked me, what did I do? At the time, I didn't know what to say, so I said, well, I recorded a song for the homeless. That was the last thing I did. Well, when I said that, there was a lady from Channel 8 News who was standing next to her. She heard me say that. And she said, you did what? You wrote a song for the homeless. Tell me about that. And I started sharing with her. And she said, I'd like to do a story on that. And so I'm looking going, what is going on? People are wanting to know these things. And I'm getting connected with people that I've never been connected with before. But she said, let's do this. Let's do this report. And so she did. We went back to the studio where Fred and I had recorded. I shared with her about how the song was created, which I had to expose homelessness at that point. That was my first exposing. And so she sent a story for the news. So I'm going, now everybody's going to know. Oh, my God. Well, I knew I was supposed to do it. So I shared with her. They aired the news. And after they aired the news, I started getting calls and emails from different groups and organizations asking if I would come and share the song, if I would come and tell the story about how I had been living in my car. And the whole thing just started unfolding to the point where I stopped at that point because it was one thing after the next. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'm trying to make sense of all of this. I know I fasted. I know I prayed. And I wanted direction, but I need clarity on why all of this is happening like it's happening. He clearly said to me, you have been giving all these gifts and talents. I have blessed you with gifts and talents, but you have been giving them to the wrong people. I am putting you in position where you're going to take all of those gifts and talents and bless the homeless and the less fortunate. And when I tell you all, it was like weights were lifted off of my shoulders. Because I finally felt like I knew what I was supposed to be doing. And I was so overwhelmed with joy. I just remember shouting it out, telling everybody, I'm going to be serving the homeless. I'm going to be giving my gifts and talents to the less fortunate. And so that was 5 years ago. And we're celebrating 5 years of serving the homeless in April. This month.
And tell everybody the name of your nonprofit.
The name of the nonprofit is Where Are You Outreach? And we are that. We're a homeless outreach where we provide food, clothing, and resources for the homeless.
Do you have a particular area of the community that you're serving?
Well, the homeless events that we do monthly are partnered with a restaurant downtown called 1011 Grill. So we serve them regularly downtown Dallas, but our organization literally goes all over the city of Dallas, Fort Worth, and we've traveled to other states as well, partnering with other organizations, training them how to do what we're doing here in Dallas.
That is amazing.
Thank you. A couple of people from our band.
Think
we've come
maybe have.
Twice. I believe. Looking forward to our third time.
We're looking forward to that.
Everybody's saying, when are we going back down? When are we going to get back with Tisha? And everybody asks me that all the time. But we have been to your events, and they are fabulous.
Thank you.
So there is a van. I'm going to lead you to this. So there's a van. And the van goes around.
That's correct.
And picks up people that want to come.
That's correct. That's how we do it.
Brings them to the event. There is live music. There is food. There are clothes.
Free shopping.
Free shopping. There's when I've been there, there's a DJ.
Correct.
I mean, this is like a very lively event. And then there are volunteers there to serve.
That's correct. That's exactly what it is. It is our monthly event, and they're themed events. Because what we realize, too, with the community, people get excited about particular things. Mm-hmm. You can keep saying the word homeless, but then that it becomes people become insensitive almost to that mm-hmm. word. It's like they don't feel the same compassion when mm-hmm. you just say homeless. But mm-hmm. if you say a Mother's Day event for pregnant mothers who are living right. on the street, mm-hmm. then they want to come and serve or mm-hmm. they want to figure out how they can give back, or a back-to-school drive for homeless children. We try to create different themes. We've had Bible drives mm-hmm. for the homeless. We've mm-hmm. had tent drives. We've had jeans and things. Hmm. So we just try to come up with different titles of things that get people excited about giving back. And the events are just filled with love. There are bunches of volunteers that come from everywhere mm-hmm. who bring their hearts, their hugs, their love, their smiles. And we just try to bless them as much as possible. Yes, we yes. try to take them out of the mindset. You know, if you don't know about living on the street mm-hmm. or being in those situations, you really can't understand how much compassion those people need.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And because I've been there mm-hmm. myself, you know, it was just a joy for me to teach others how to do that, how mm-hmm. to show compassion and bless with you can't be repaid for that. You just have to give it and let it be.
Yes. Absolutely. Just yes. to be seen, yeah. I would think, from
exactly.
the limited time that I have done some volunteering and dealing with the homeless, just so they're seen and they're known.
Exactly.
And they're not invisible.
They're not forgotten.
Yes. Yes, they are so forgotten. So how can I get involved? How do you get somebody? What do I need to do if I want to go sign up and be a part of the next monthly event? What do I need to do so that I can come be a part of this amazing nonprofit that you've got rolling?
Well, we have the website, which is whereareyououtreach.org. We have volunteer signups there. Mm-hmm. You can also call our number 972-885-9296, and you can call us and let us know if there's something particular that you want to do. We also partner with other organizations as well, because there are so many other groups that are sometimes trying to get off the ground mm-hmm. or just want some exposure and how to serve. Mm-hmm. We do yeah. that as well. But to be a part, you would sign up. Like I said, we would give you some training on how to serve.
Yes.
And then you would just come to the volunteer experience.
Hmm. That's amazing.
Yes, yes, it's awesome.
And, you know, I'm curious, why is it important for us to get involved with the homeless?
Right.
What would you say from your own experience mm-hmm. and then running this for the last 5 years and being able to touch so many people and
yes.
give them an experience once a month, whether they go once a month or they've gone consecutive months?
Right.
Why is this so important?
Well, one of the things for me, because I am one that loves the Lord, it's an opportunity for us to share the faith. Mm-hmm. And to remind them that the Lord does see them mm-hmm. and that they're not forgotten about, and He uses us to be a blessing to them.
Yes.
So just being able to be selfless, I think that's the main thing. We're getting an opportunity to see a need for someone else. And then, because when you are in those situations, you do feel like, does anybody know? Does anybody
right.
care?
Right.
Will
Absolutely.
Anybody
yep.
do anything once they know the situation that
right.
I'm in? So we want to be just that. We want to answer those questions and say, yes, we do see you. Yes, we realize that you're in a situation of need. And however we can be a blessing, we want to do that.
Right.
So it's a great opportunity for us to just shed a lot of love more than anything.
Right, right.
So we love doing that.
I think that's fantastic.
And
thank you. We know that you are having your first gala.
Yes.
Yay!
Gala. Gay love. However you want to say it.
What is it going to be? It's going to be splendaculous?
It's going to be
oh, yes.
spectabulous.
Spectabulous.
Marvel-mazing.
You all need to see Tisha why she's saying her word. I mean, she is really into these words.
I know.
Let me tell
you. She met us on a video. Tell us about
yes,
your gala.
Yes, tell us about the gala.
Yes, it's going to be this year, July the 15th, 2018. It is our very first one.
Okay.
We are celebrating 5 years of service. It is a black tie event,
okay.
and it is called the King and Queen Servant
Ooh.
Gala.
Okay, King.
Because we want to recognize people who are going above and beyond mm-hmm. the call of duty when it comes to serving and giving back and selflessness, because mm-hmm. a lot of times those people get overlooked.
Right.
They're doing a lot of work. They're doing a lot of serving. But they're, you know, they don't necessarily ask for anything, but we just want to highlight them
mm-hmm.
because we have come in contact with some amazing servants
right.
and some great people right. who love
right.
giving.
Right,
Right, right. That is wonderful.
You'll have more details on how people can be involved or attend this event on your website?
Yes, they can go to the website again, whereareyououtreach.org. We can get tickets there. We have sponsorships available. We want people to be a part of it. There are so many opportunities for people to even serve a volunteer for the event as mm-hmm. well. Okay. So, yes, they can please reach out to us.
Okay. That is wonderful. So we will do that. We'll remember to check out your website.
Yes, ma'am.
One of the things that you said before in the conversation, and this is what, I don't know, this is just kind of what came to my mind. Like, the Lord creates us.
Yes.
And we have all of these gifts and mm-hmm. we have all of these talents mm-hmm. and we're trying to figure out, grow into who he's called us to be.
Yes.
And I kind of think of it as the things that you do well, like that is your platform.
Correct.
That's the
yes.
thing that you're supposed to use. Sometimes it's hard for us to figure out exactly who we are supposed to serve.
Yes. Correct.
When we're thinking about, you know, I can sing, where I'm supposed to be a recording artist. Well, maybe not.
Right.
You know, what... How can I use what I do to serve someone else? So can you talk just a little bit more about hearing the Lord's voice, and how do we know mm-hmm. that we've heard the Lord's voice? How do we, maybe he won't call us to move to figure out, you know, some things,
right.
but even if he does, even
right.
if he calls us to do something like that, how can I know for sure I'm hearing the Lord as I'm growing into who I'm supposed to be?
Well, I always say start where you're planted. There is a lot of people that are in situations right now, or they have gifts and talents, but they're not necessarily using them to give back.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are just working to gain more success mm-hmm. or more notoriety,
mm-hmm.
but we don't necessarily figure out ways we can be partnering maybe with another organization
mm-hmm.
where we can give of our gifts and talents. Because sometimes if we just stop with that first, because that's what I've learned now that I'm here,
mm-hmm.
like there were things that I was already doing for the homeless, but I didn't stop to make the connection
right.
that this was something that the Lord wanted me to be doing.
Right.
I had redesigned a homeless shelter before I became homeless.
Ooh.
And I was so overwhelmed with joy by that.
Mm-hmm.
But I moved right past it.
Right. Yes.
You see what I'm
right.
saying? Where right. I didn't stop and even acknowledge the Lord in the sense of saying, Lord, how do you feel about this?
Right.
Or why did you allow me to do this? I
right.
didn't do that in that
mm-hmm.
process, because when I realized what he wanted me to do, I went back and looked at all the signs mm-hmm. that he was giving to me.
Yes.
But I was focused on the thing that mm-hmm. I was doing instead of trying to hear from the Lord or even see, Lord, how do you feel about this? What are your thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
So I would say wherever you are, and some things that tug at your heart, because the homeless tugged at my heart often
wow.
where I felt like I wanted to do something for, mm-hmm. for them, I would do it and move on.
And not realize that he's talking to you. And
exactly.
I think that's such a good point. I can just think of that and testify to that myself
yes.
in my own life.
Yes.
I just think it's so important to slow down and take a moment and look at, oh, you might have had a hand in this.
That's right.
Right.
We're in the middle
of our miracle.
That's it.
But because
right.
we're living,
yes.
we're not stopping. To really pray and really see where the Lord is taking our lives.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, we're going to take a break.
Yes.
And we will be back with Tisha Owens on the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show.
Listening to Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration.
Heart,
now let's get back to the show
woman.
With your host, Carla Nivens.
Every heart, every woman.
Well, everyone, welcome back to the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show on The Word 100.7 FM. My good friend Vicki McMurray is here with me. She is co-hosting today. Vicki and I tackle so many things in life together. I appreciate her so very much. So thank you so much for being here with me, Vicki. And we are talking today to Letitia Owens. Tisha is the founder of Where Are You Outreach? And we've just have just the greatest conversation. And so we're excited to continue.
Yes.
And we will jump right back into what we were discussing. Now, you mentioned before that you were blessed enough in the middle of this fantabulous, is that right?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay. I didn't get the motion
right. Yeah, you
gotta
move it. Fantabulous.
Right. Fantabulous. Okay. in this story, you had the opportunity to record a song with Fred Hammond.
Correct.
So tell us about the song and how we can find it. And then I understand that you have more music. So tell us the whole story behind all of this.
And can we say really quick, explain who Fred Hammond is? Not everybody's going to know who he is. Just a quick little background.
Okay. Well, Fred Hammond is one of my favorites.
Yes.
I remember he is a gospel recording artist, but
Correct.
He is a worship leader.
Yes, he is.
And so we all love worship, and we all, you know, really feel called to worship. So I remember seeing Fred Hammond live maybe when I was in college and at Six Flags. He was doing a concert outside. What I remember is that everybody in the whole place was worshiping from side to side, front to back.
How amazing.
And I don't think I sang anything in the concert. My eyes were open. Mm. It just hit me in a certain way.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I want to set this atmosphere for people to worship. So that's who Fred Hammond is to me. That's a personal.
Yes.
That's on a personal note. But you can, you know.
Well, he started with Commission. That was the gospel group that he was a part of originally.
He
He's an amazing bass player, but everyone knows him for the worship that he leads.
Yes.
And he is an awesome songwriter. He's a Grammy Award winner.
Mm-hmm.
So he's known. He's actually on tour right now with the Festival of Praise tour.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just an amazing artist, gospel artist and songwriter. So to work with him was just mind-blowing.
Yes.
And how did you... So, give us the background. How did you end up? You were doing
redesigning his recording studio, actually, and that's how the relationship began with the music. I was singing background for him in the past, for other things, but even when you sing background, sometimes for people, they don't really hear you sing because you're singing with everybody else.
Right.
So when he actually heard my music, that's when he talked about us doing this together.
Okay.
So that's what we were able to do, get together. He looked at the words to the song, was very impacted by it, and asked, could we do it together? And that's how the song began, just us hearing from the Lord and working together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Thank you.
And so you have two other singles as well. So this song is called Where Are You?
That's correct. That was my first single.
Okay. Where Are You? And then you have More of You.
More of You, written by Malik Smith. He's a great musician and writer. We worked together on that. That was my second single.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final single we released this past December with, I did it with Candy West.
Okay.
She's also a gospel artist here in Dallas, Texas, who's amazing. And the song is called Favorite Things.
Okay.
Yeah, we did the song from the old Julie Andrews movie.
Yes. Sound of Music.
That's correct. We turned it into a gospel song.
Okay.
So the first part is the original version, and then we added Our Favorite Thing is the Lord. So you have to kind of hear where it goes. But
yeah. And you were telling us earlier when we weren't on the air that all of these songs we can find on iTunes.
That's correct. You can find them on iTunes. I use the songs to give back to the homeless.
Hmm.
So whenever someone downloads the music, they're able to give a portion of the proceeds back to the homeless.
Okay.
Yes.
What a blessing.
Yes.
That is a blessing. And I'll tell you personally that, you know, I had the opportunity to hear you at Flames of Passion Women's Conference, and your song is beautiful.
Aww.
We heard Where Are You, and it's just beautiful.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. Any of
our
listeners who have a chance, I do hope they go on iTunes and download the songs.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So just on a personal note, Vicki and I were thinking, you know, what makes you happy in life? What makes you happy?
Well, today I would say just life. You know, when I look at things differently now because I realize how we have so much.
Mm-hmm.
We don't realize we have so much, but we have so much. When I'm able to come into my home and I can lock the door at night and I can turn the light on and off or turn on water.
Yes.
Those things are so important.
Blessings.
You know, they're just huge blessings. And then my children are healthy and strong.
Mm-hmm.
My husband is loving and he loves the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So those are things that make me happy. Just when I think about happy, it's just the opportunity to be here, to be a blessing to somebody else, and then to share so much love with my family and friends. That's a big deal for me.
Yes, yes. And did you always, because we know that you tackle life, like we said, in such a huge way.
Yes. I do.
have you always been like that?
I would say, my friends would say yes. Mm-hmm. I still have friends from elementary school. And when they meet new people in my life, they go, she's still the same. She was crazy yes. then. She's mm-hmm. crazier mm-hmm. now.
Mm-hmm. yes, yes.
Because my family, they're very funny. My father is one of the biggest comedians.
Yes.
And so he's always made us laugh. That's been a big deal. So all my sisters and brothers are comedians by
okay.
nature.
Okay. Yes.
So we enjoy bringing smiles to yes. people. So we have yes. fun doing that.
Yes.
So.
And you've done some stand-up comedy. Have you
well,
done stand-up?
I have yes. done stand-up without it being stand-up. They asked me to get on the mic, and I did my own self.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So I don't know if that was a sideways compliment or not.
Well, I receive it. I receive it.
I love it. I love
yeah.
it.
Tisha is the kind of person, because I remember when we were traveling
yes.
With Kirk.
Yes.
She can. If there's any downtime, she will take that water bottle right there
all right.
and make it a microphone.
I would. Yes, I would.
And she will
great.
Do stand up for everybody.
Actually, if you go on Tisha's website or
yes.
on her Facebook page,
that's correct.
I was perusing the other day, you have a Super Bowl video
yes.
that you just took her phone and started going around the house, and unbeknownst to everybody that was in your mom's house,
yes,
I think it was.
Correct.
I see. And I think you caught your husband as he's trying to eat.
Yes,
it was
of course.
Hilarious.
Yes.
It was really good. So, yes,
and I will
you have
interview.
A big personality. It's fun.
I will interview anyone with my blush brush.
Okay.
I
yes,
do makeup.
Okay. Brush.
So I will
okay.
use that as a microphone
yes.
as well.
Yes,
and
I've
it's amazing
that.
People will take the blush brush as if it's real and start talking into
that's
it.
That's the key to the show, Carla. We need to have a blush brush. I'm telling you.
We will get one.
Yes.
I love it. I'm curious, what is your biggest influence in life? Who has been your biggest influence in life?
The biggest influence really have been teachers.
Oh,
my teachers
wonderful.
In school, there was a young lady by the name of Nina Johnson. She was my music teacher. Well, I have to go back. My first elementary school teacher, Diane Vernon,
mm-hmm.
she was the one that took me out of the box. Someone told her that I could sing when I was in the third grade.
Hmm.
She made me come and stand before the sixth grade class, and I sang a Coca-Cola ad.
Oh.
And from that
it.
Point on, she put me in every talent show, mm-hmm. anything that you could be exposed on at that time. I was a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So my teachers played a major role. There were always family members. Of course, my parents were always pushing me in church mm-hmm. to sing or mm-hmm. get up and do whatever. And I had no problem with acting. If I thought I could do something dramatic, mm-hmm. I'd love to fall and make people laugh or do something where somebody would go, what is she doing? So I have lived just being influenced by amazing people who just really poured into me.
Mm-hmm.
So
wonderful.
Those were key parts of my life,
yes.
having those people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Teachers shouldn't give up.
That's
they
right. Teachers are amazing.
That is right.
They are.
That is right. We are both
We are both former teachers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So now let's talk about children.
Yes, let's do that.
Because you have two.
I do.
And they are, they're not little children anymore.
No, they're not.
They're like grown and pretty much grown. So just tell us about them and what they're doing and how they're doing in life.
And I do have two children of my own, but I'm married and my husband
That's
had
right.
two children. So
That's
we
right.
actually have four together.
Mm-hmm.
And my two children with my husband, they are grown. My daughter lives in Florida, my oldest daughter, and my oldest son, he was recently married a couple of years ago, and now we have a new grandson.
Oh.
Yes, Carlson Enzo Owen. So my yes. husband calls him the CEO
okay.
for his acronym. And then my two children, my son is a junior in college in Nebraska,
okay.
and my daughter is a senior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very, very talented. Like I was sharing with you all earlier, my son is going to be the assistant coach of basketball as a senior
wow.
at his college, which is
amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
Yes.
He's very talented. He just led chapel, too, a couple of weeks ago, and they did a video on it, and he was amazing. He was talking about forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And so to see where he is spiritually,
yes.
it's always a blessing to watch your children soar.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Absolutely.
And then my daughter and I, we have our own fragrance line and lipstick line. She
okay.
is a creative.
Mm-hmm.
So she's always coming up with a new idea
mm-hmm.
of something to
mm-hmm.
do, and I'm the backer.
Mm-hmm.
So if I see it's something that she's passionate about,
yes.
we just make it work. So
yes.
China Doll brand is her fragrance line. Okay. It's our actual whole line.
Okay.
And you can go to the website, ChinaDollBrand.com, and that's with a Y, C-H-Y-N-A,
okay.
D-O-L-L brand. .com.
Yes, yep. Yes. That is wonderful because I know that China was she was at the same event at Flames of Passion Women's event.
She was.
And she's just so wonderful.
Thank you.
So how do you grow children like that? Everybody wants to know.
Ooh, let me
how
tell
do you.
You
grow
I'm
children?
In line. I'm in line. I want to know.
I'm going to say for sure it was discipline.
Mm-hmm.
I was a child that was undisciplined. Mm-hmm. And so I knew the consequences of that.
Mm-hmm.
I was out of control for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned from my own mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I wished that there were things that would have been done with me that would have changed somewhat of the direction that I would have taken. So I said, you know what? When I have children, I'm going to make sure that they're disciplined in the sense of understanding cause and effect.
Yes.
That when things happen, there are consequences, good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
You have the choice to make them. But just making sure that there were consequences when there were things that were not so great and that there were consequences when things were great. In other words, there were amazing rewards and there were huge negative consequences when things were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So they got that early on. And they tell their friends that today like, no, my mom would not allow that.
Right.
Or that's not a good thing that you're doing. I know the consequence of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that played a major role.
Yes.
And then surrounding them with godly people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I remember for my son's 16th birthday, we had a party of just men, 30 men that were there that prayed over him. They wrote out cards of encouragement that he would have for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically just shared with him the wonderful things that they had seen in him and how they would just continue to walk with him throughout his life.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's man, that's a blessing. So I know just that will bless so many people, so many women who are listening. Let's get back into music. What is your favorite song that's out right now?
Ooh, what is my favorite song right now? Who Can Stand Against the King? No One Can.
Yes.
Ty Dolaney. When I hear that line, that when you think about all the things that come against you in this world that we live in, no one can stand against the king.
Yes.
So as long as you have him and his power and his strength, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
And I rest in that and I remind myself of that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tisha, I'm interested because I've not volunteered for you before. So I don't have any idea of what it's going to be like to walk in that day and help with this experience that you're trying to provide for our homeless community. So give me more information about how would you help me prepare for that experience?
Well, the first time we usually allow you to just experience it.
Mm-hmm.
When you get there, our hospitality is waiting to receive you. What happens is, I didn't share this earlier either. When we pick the homeless up, we are in our van. We're driving around a community where they most of the time don't know who we are. So we literally have to invite them getting out of the van or just opening up the door saying, hi, my name is Tisha. We're going to have a homeless event today. We'd love to celebrate you if you don't mind joining us. So they literally have to take a leap of faith and get in the van with us because they have no idea who we are. Some of them do, some of them don't. And we usually pick up anywhere from 50 to 75, sometimes 100 if we have the caravan that follows us. So that happens first. And then when the volunteers are there, like I said, we usually allow you to experience it by showing you how we want you to feel.
Shadowing it.
Yes.
Mentoring it.
Yes.
Okay.
So they come in, they're loved on. And the thing about the homeless as well, we train the volunteers how to serve them. In other words, the homeless are not to do anything. In other words, they don't stand in line. We go around, we educate those about this is going to be your area. We have a free shopping experience where there's a table, their table nice. Set up with all of the clothing, all of the resources, mm-hmm. the toiletry items. They're able to go over there and pick those items up. Mm-hmm. So we're showing the volunteers how to organize those things over there. And then we have a food service area where the volunteers are either preparing the food or distributing the food. So we show them how to do that as well. Mm-hmm. But the whole mindset is a mind of love, mm-hmm. a heart of love. So we want to make sure that the heart already is in place to give compassion, mm-hmm. to have a smile on the face, the mind, the soul. Right. So you're already in this thought process of giving and selflessness.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
That is amazing.
Thank
that is
you. Amazing. I say thank you a lot because I have to practice that because that's another thing that we do. We say thank you for everything because we want to practice being grateful.
Right, right.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. I think that's key in life to begin with.
So, thank you.
Yes. That's wonderful.
That is right. I think that, you know, there are so many times when in life that we forget to even saying thank you.
Yes.
Even saying thank you to God. We forget mm-hmm. to, people call it count our blessings, but I like to say just journal. Journal about the things that we're thankful for.
Correct.
And like I said, we're in the middle of a miracle and we do not take the time to just to think.
Yes, absolutely.
Just to think. So we are so thankful, Tisha, for you being our guest on Every Heart,
yes!
Every Woman radio show.
Awesome.
Thank you so much. And as well, thank you to Vicky, my good friend. We have done so much together, and I'm sure there's many more things to come. You can keep in contact with us on our website, ehewradio.com. On our social media is at EHEW Radio. Just reach out to us and join us next week at 6 p.m. on The Word 100.7 FM. Tisha, I want to give you another chance to give your website so that people can get in contact with you as well.
That is www.whereareyououtreach.org, and 972-885-9296 is the phone number.
All right. We will definitely keep in touch. This has been Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. We are a program of Love Ministries, a 501c3 nonprofit. We will see you next week on The Word 100.7 FM at 6 p.m. I am your host, Carla Nivens, and we pray that you have a wonderful week. Hey, everyone, we would love for you to join in the conversation for Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. You can connect with us on our social media pages and submit suggestions for topics, guests, or creative ideas that you may have for the show. And actually, one of our listeners gave us a list on Instagram of her favorite women who have impacted her life, and we're having them as guests on the show. So we really do love to hear your suggestions. So go ahead and head to our website. It's ehewradio.com. Sign up for our mailing list on the website to keep in contact with everything that's going on the show, and you can also submit your suggestions there. That's ehewradio.com. Also, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at EHEW Radio. Okay, so at EHEW Radio on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you.